Just opening this morning, I just really felt in my heart as we were worshiping and just considering the weekend. I just felt the verse, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." And I feel like that's you. It's excellent to come and have a message and be excited to what the Lord wants to download. But to download it to a people whose hearts are fully devoted to the Lord is a different thing. Yeah. I mean, you guys are wide open, full out, full throttle. You want everything God has for you and more. And so we're just in awe of just what God is doing in your hearts, what God has built, what God is building here. It is just amazing to be a part of and just an absolute privilege to just step into and minister with you guys. Like, wow. It's so thank you for who you are and what God is doing in you and your hearts for Him. It is real. It is tangible. It is passionate. It is not in any way other than the most real thing. So thank you. So here we are, part 5, Living Supernaturally. So I'd like to finish the weekend considering two things. How do we walk out our lives as we leave here supernaturally? Number one. Number two, how do we impact the lives of those around us supernaturally who don't yet know Jesus? Part two. And so that's what I'd like to speak on. Can I say that I believe that there's a sense of commissioning this morning that the Lord wants to take place? It's already been happening through the prophetic words, through the worship, and so I think there's just something of that. We'll just see how the Lord wants to do that. In order to look at our lives and how to walk kind of practically day-to-day supernaturally, just felt in the Lord this morning to speak about the life of Elisha. He's just this beautiful example of how to live life supernaturally. And so that's where I want to start this morning. I want to move into 2 Kings chapter 6. Now, by the time we get into this 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha has done a lot. The Lord has done a lot through Elisha's life. There's a lot of supernatural that's happened by this point in time. But I just want to, verse 6 just really brings some more life to what God is doing through this man. It says in verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, 'See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, and each of us get there a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell there.' And he answered, 'Go.'" Okay, so here's some opening considerations. To the degree that we live our life supernaturally is to the degree that our lives become attractive to others. God has created each person in this region and the entire world with a heart for the supernatural, a heart for the miraculous. They're looking for it, they're searching for it. Just turn on the TV, you'll see it. And so God has given us this beautiful gift to live in the supernatural that God has called us to live into, and that's actually what people are looking for. They're stumbling across the faults lots of times, but they're actually looking for the miraculous, yeah. Right? And so to the degree that we live in the miraculous and supernatural is to the degree that we become attractive and we start to operate in a way, because the world can't offer that. Yeah. And so Elisha is offering that. And there's this continued growth around him to the point where they have to make this larger place for them to dwell. Yeah. And so they go and they build this place. We read in 2 Kings 6, 3 to 7, it says, "Then one of them said, 'Be pleased to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them, and they came to the Jordan. They cut down trees, but as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water. And he cried out, 'Alas, my master, it was borrowed.' Then the man of God said, 'Where did it fall?' And he showed him the place. He cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. And he said, 'Take it up.' So he reached up and took his hand, and his hand took it." So they're down by the Jordan River. They're using this axe. Iron utensils at this time are just coming into use. And so this would have been a high expense. And we can see the panic in this man in verse 4. It says, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." I mean, he didn't have one because he couldn't afford it in the first place. And now it's borrowed, and he just doesn't have the means to replace it. So this man is looking at incredible embarrassment, incredible loss, and but he's happening to see things in the natural. See, now Elisha doesn't operate in the natural. He operates in the supernatural. And so this man steps in. He's struggling. He's panicking. And then we see this beautiful response of Elisha. He says, when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it there and made it the iron float. Iron doesn't usually float. It wasn't on his mind. He threw the stick in, and somehow that transfer, the stick could float that capacity into the axe head. That's a supernatural thing. Yeah. Why he chose to throw the stick in, not like, float, God just does things differently.
Yeah.
Right? There's no formula. Like, sure, like, this is what will happen. You see, when we're operating in the natural, we have option A and B. And so we are in the natural trying to decide how to do this, how to work this thing out. You see, but then you enter in the supernatural, all of a sudden you've got A and B, because those haven't left, but now you've got C and D.
Yeah.
He didn't, in his mind, consider, well, why not just take a stick and throw it in the water and let the axe head float?
Yeah.
That didn't cross his mind, because in the natural, that probably wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? So you can you see right away, in the natural, when there's loss, it's panic, fear, overwhelmed, financial loss, financial burden, embarrassment, taken away.
Right.
As soon as the supernatural enters in. Mm-hmm. See, but we as a church have the supernatural Christ, and so we can actually walk in that. And that is what we get to carry and live out and walk into.
Yeah, good.
And then it moves into, this chapter moves into, from here on out, King of Syria, who is confronting the Israelites, and had been, the Assyrians had been oppressing them holistically for a very long time. And we read in verses 8 to 10, it says, once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servant, saying, at such and such a place shall be my camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. See, the king of Syria was trying to attack God's people by trying to set an ambush and trying to, in warfare, attack God's people. But the Lord had other plans. He had Elisha, who would choose to live supernaturally and not naturally. Let's read verses 11 to 14. Then the mind of the king of Assyria was greatly troubled because of this. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me who is of us who is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. And he said, go and see who he is, that I may send and seize him. It was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Okay, so this king of Assyria is trying to destroy the Israelites, and God just keeps downloading to Elisha everything that the king is saying in his bedroom. And so this is a problem from a military perspective, because the Israelites kept shifting and adjusting. The Israelite king kept just... So what the enemy had in store, it just couldn't take root, because the Lord kept coming in and bringing a download of revelation and cutting it off. And so now Elisha's in trouble, because now the king of Assyria finds out that Elisha's gone to Dothan, this one city, this poor little place of Dothan is going to have a really hard time in the natural, because all of the best of the Syrian army has come and descended upon this one place, because Elisha's there, because Elisha's a problem. So you got one man, Elisha, living supernaturally against a horde of the enemy coming at him, but who's going to win this one? Not sure if you've ever felt like a horde is against you, that the enemy is strong and he's coming at you and you're surrounded. See, in the natural, it's freak out time.
Yeah.
But in the supernatural, let's just let God go to plan C and D. It's always C and D, right? It's always the more. It's always what is not available and not even can be conceived in the natural is how God's calling us to live in the supernatural. So whatever you're facing today, trust God for it in the supernatural. Leave the natural behind. Say, God, I'm going to open up and walk into what you have for me in the supernatural. Verse 15. It says, when the servant of the man of God arose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? Okay, so he wasn't living in the supernatural yet. He was learning. You ever been there? Okay, so here we go in the natural. Cue the natural, fear, panic, right? Just like the guy with the axe said, cue the natural, fear, and panic, right? We're going to live in the natural, cue it, fear and panic, right? Something's going wrong, circumstances not going so well, cue the panic. Let's go, let's do this, right? Elisha never gets there. Never processes it that way. He's not even, I don't know, just not even processing, just not even seeing it that way. So this man in the natural, there was going to be certain death for this whole city. And Elisha and his poor servant guy, they were not going to escape this. This was not going to go very well at all for them. And this whole city was going to be destroyed because of one prophet of God, Elisha. Okay, so we got the servant of Elisha panicking. Now let's cue in Elisha. Verses 16 and 17. Elisha said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than for those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open up the eyes that he may see. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. See, because the servant of God didn't process that there's an army of heaven waiting. I'm not sure about you, but if you're a commander of an earthly army, I'm not going to take on the army of heaven. Bad idea. If I was a betting man, not so much, I'm going to go with Army of Heaven.
Yeah.
All day long, every time. Can you and I live in that too? Can I live in, I got the arms of heaven backing me.
Yeah.
I got the banner of God going before me. I got the victory. God is my banner.
Yeah.
He's going before me. Yeah, I see this. I see that in the natural. I recognize it. But there's more.
Yeah.
See, this is called living supernaturally.
Yeah.
So because we can get home on Monday, and there might be a horde before us. But there's also the army of heaven backing us, and our Jehovah God going before us. Interesting, the army of heaven just protected. They didn't even do anything. They were just there. It was just a revelation. It's just like, hey, like, you're panicking about these chairs you see? Check these guys out. There's, see the mountain? Those are chairs of fire. Check those things out. Now, the king of Syria didn't see this army of heaven sitting there. And they started to advance. And when the Syrians came down, verses 18 and 19, when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, please strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. Then he led them to Samaria. So, okay, come on now. Come on now. Like, how cool are we doing here, right? Like, so Elisha steps out of the city. They're struck with blindness by the Lord. The armies of heaven is just sitting there, just in case. They decide to do something, but they can't all of a sudden, because now they're blind. They have a blindness. They can stumble. It's not a full blindness, but they can't. There's almost, probably in Hebrew, it's more like a confusion because they can still see. But they're so confused, they're so off their game, they just don't know what to do. So Elisha, the guy they're coming to kill, goes out to them. Says, hey guys, just come on, follow me, I'll show you the guy. And he leads them into Samaria, which is, of course, their land, their ground. Right? This whole army, completely disarmed, coming, completely helpless. And if you read the rest of the account, they are actually fed and clothed and taken care of and given provisions for their journey. Yeah. Not one of their lives are even saved. Because, yeah. I mean, if they'd gone against the army, it wouldn't have gone very well. So their lives were now saved. And they never attacked Syria again. Sorry, Assyria never attacked Israel again. Look at that. That's the redemption story, hey?
Yeah.
Every side gets redeemed. Every side gets healed. Every side gets restored.
Yeah.
Even the enemy, in this case, these people who were trapped, got set free and restored and brought into their inheritance.
Yeah.
Fed, clothed, taken care of. See, because when you introduce Jesus and his supernatural ways into things, then there's no telling what's going to happen, right? There's no limit. There's no limit. There's no, like, Elisha just didn't get away with the skin of his teeth. This power of God came upon the whole city in scenario situation, the whole army, and everything was restored. See, if they'd stayed in options A and B, there would have been complete decimation.
Yeah.
Every time, right? You think about it. Go back to the Acts head. It would have been incredible loss, financial loss. That's why financially we trust God,
yeah,
not ourselves. There was fear and there was panic. The servant of Elisha was freaking out. The guy with the axe was freaking out. Fear and panic. That's what the natural brings. I don't know how people live without Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there. Enter Elisha, choosing to live supernaturally. Everything's restored. The axe head floats, comes back. City of Dothan's protected. Elisha the servant, they're fine. And the army that's attacking them is completely set free. Mm. It's called supernatural living.
Yeah. Yeah. Good day.
Tell you, I want to live supernaturally. Do you know how many Elishas were there in that story?
One.
One man chose to live supernaturally. Yeah. There was thousands around. But one man chose it supernaturally, and God honored that one man. Look at the impact we can have in this place with you and with me. Man, if we chose to live supernaturally, I'm not saying that you don't. I'm saying, man, if we just say full out, I'm going to choose to live supernaturally. When I face something this week, I'm choosing C and D. A and B, not for me. I'm going C and D. Fear and panic, not for me. Loss, not for me. Destruction, not for me. Inheritance, for me.
Yes.
Supernatural, for me.
Yes.
Provision, for me. Setting free of all those around me, even those who are coming at me, that's for me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so just wanted to start there. That's section one. Section two overlaps. Section two includes helping those who don't yet know Jesus see the supernatural through us. And it starts because we'll benefit too. But it's one of the ways that we can live in the supernatural and usher in the supernatural for those who don't yet know Jesus. Bridget talked to me last night just about the name of Christ, the name of Jesus. That's really what I'm going to be ending on today, is just the whole reality that we have been given the name of Jesus. And that's why I want to just end this message, talking about the name of Jesus. We know in Philippians 2, 8 to 11, regarding the name of Jesus, it says, "And being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Okay, so Jesus has been given the name that is above every name, meaning there's no name in heaven or earth with greater glory, sovereignty, impact, honored than the name of Jesus. When we declare the name of Jesus, we are declaring all that he is and represents, all his authority, all his rule, all his power, his reign, his compassion, his forgiveness, all of his attributes represented in his name. The list could go on, but whenever we declare the name of Jesus, then everything shifts in the spiritual realm. You want to check this out. Go into your workplace tomorrow and start dropping the name of Jesus and see what happens. You can try it. You can mention any other God you want to all day long, no issue. You drop the name of Jesus. See, when the name of Jesus is brought into reality,
yeah,
through our words, the spiritual realm shifts instantly.
Yeah.
And you'll see it in the physical, it'll manifest. So just, that can be your test tomorrow. Just give it a shot. Now we're having some fun. So if we broaden that, we call him the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord considers and outlines his divinity. The name of Jesus outlines his humanity. And finally, we have Christ or Messiah, which means anointed one. So the Lord Jesus Christ. Divinity, perfect divinity of Christ. Jesus, the perfect humanity of Christ, because that's the name he was given while at birth. And the anointed one. Now, Christ or Messiah means anointed one. Christ is the Greek derivation. Messiah is the Hebrew derivation of anointed one. So it could be Lord Jesus Christ, Greek, Lord Jesus Messiah, Hebrew. Okay? And so that's the name that we are calling upon. That is who he is. That is what he represents. Now, we've talked about a name a little bit, but a name distinguishes one person from another. There's no other Jesus. There's only one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it represents character and calling. For Matthew 1:21, the angel says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And so we follow one whose name is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we get to live in the inheritance of him, and can I say also his name, that he's been given to us, and we'll see that in just a moment. Before we get there, we can see whenever God gives his name, there is an instant response in the supernatural and miracles. So let's look at the Old Testament first. Exodus 6, 2 and 3 reads, "God spoke to Moses and said to him, 'I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known.'" And so during the patriarchal time, he didn't make his name known. That changes with Moses in Exodus 3, 13 to 14. It says, "Then Moses said to God, 'If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" So introducing the old, there's some things that are happening supernaturally, there's some provision, there's a few things going on, but we come into Exodus, man, it starts to get pretty fiery, right? Because as soon as God makes himself known, God says to Moses, he said, "You go and you tell them, I am has sent you." And so I am starts moving according to his name.
Yeah.
And then what do we see? We see the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt,
yeah,
through signs, wonders, and miracles. So there is an explosion of miracles that happen as soon as God drops his name.
Yeah.
Old Testament, now New Testament. Jesus comes, starts his earthly ministry. Guess what happens? I'll answer for you. An explosion of the supernatural, according to his name. And it started with Jesus, came through his disciples, came through the early church. And guess what, church? It hasn't stopped.
Yeah.
Jesus has no plans for the stopping of the explosion of the supernatural according to his name until he comes again.
Yeah.
And so this is a time that you and I now live in.
Yeah.
Whenever you introduce the name of God, you can expect a supernatural, miraculous explosion and response.
Yeah.
It's just because it honors who he is. It's honoring his character. He's God. It's not just some person we know. This is God in the house, right? We're talking about God here. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is who we're speaking of. This is who's being addressed here. He's the creator of all things. He's the center of heaven. He's the center of history. He's the center of today. He's the center of creation. He's created you. Everything surrounds Christ. This is the one whom we are talking about and we're speaking of here. And just simply by that, in the natural, you say, that's kind of silly. Not so much according to God. He will honor his name. What we're going to find out is that Jesus has called us to represent him on this earth and carry his name forward. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And so we get this beautiful journey and revelation that we're followers of Christ, we're impacted by the name of Christ, but now we're being called by Christ to move into this world according to his name as his ambassadors. He came and lived on the flesh 2,000 years ago, and he used his name and his power and his identity to do all these things. Now you and I are the body of Christ on the earth today, and now he's calling you and I to do exactly the same things that he did while he was on earth, according to his power, anointing, authority, and according to his name. And so when you and I step out, if we want to honor Christ, then we want to just call upon his name to do what only he does. And we can expect that the response that Jesus had is the exact same thing that we're going to see, because it's not according to us, it's according to his name, who's never changed. Jesus says in John 14, 13 and 14, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." You could break that down into Greek, and it'll say in verse 14, "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it."
Yeah.
It doesn't get, I don't know how else to read it. There's no other way around it. You can break down all the, you can parse it all you want to. You can look all the tenses. You're going to get the same result.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. This is Jesus declaring and speaking his promises and his call in our life according to his name. And he's saying, listen, I want you to use my name.
Yeah.
I want you to call things forth in the supernatural according to my name.
Yeah.
I'm asking you to do this.
Please
do this. And if you do it, it's going to honor my Father. Who wants to honor God the Father? I do. I'm in. See, we could dishonor and say, oh, that's just foolishness. Not so true. That was for a time and season. There's no honor in that. Let's take God at his word. Let's honor the Father, church. But that's risky. Of course it's risky. It's God we're talking about here. Like, if you think that following Christ does not require risk, man, just reread. If you're looking for a no-risk, boring life, you've stumbled into the wrong room, folks. Like, if you're just going to live on the edge in some kind of craziness in the name of Jesus, here you are. Welcome to the life of Christ. If you want excitement in your life, man, you've come to the right place. And you're following the right God. If you want a beautiful inheritance, you found it in Christ. You know, Kate and I talked to our kids, Isaiah, Madeline, and Eli, and they're all very gifted in different ways. Very different things that we keep, and they stand out in. There's just standouts in different areas of their life, all three of them. And we'll say, listen, guys, like, that's great, but your inheritance is in Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, good day.
Like, God might use basketball and baseball and just academics, and not those are the only things that they're good at, but there are things that they are really good at. God might use those things, but that's not where their inheritance lies. Their inheritance lies in Christ. And God might use that thing, but let me tell you, their inheritance lies in Christ and their relationship with Jesus. From a legal perspective, according to John 14:13-14, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. From a perspective of a legal perspective, that's called power of attorney. Power of attorney is defined as a written authorization, the Bible, to represent or act on another's behalf, Jesus, in private affairs, business, or some other legal matter. Jesus has given you and me power of attorney to use his name to glorify the Father.
Yeah.
It's already signed off. Fully available. The name of Jesus has been given to you by Jesus to glorify the Father.
Yeah.
Church, do you want to use it?
Yeah.
I'd like to talk for a moment just about those who don't know Jesus yet. See, for those who don't know Jesus yet, they're likely not going to come in James 5 and be anointed by the elders to be healed. Because they don't know Jesus yet. They haven't memorized, by his wounds you have been healed. They don't know that verse yet. They actually, can I tell you, they have no way to access the supernatural power of God yet because they don't even know it exists. I'm not barring some God. Jesus can break through. By and large, they have zero access and zero understanding of how to walk in the supernatural that you and I get to enjoy every day. And so how do we respond to that? How do we move in that? Well, we move in that through the name of Jesus. John 12:14, if you ask me anything in my name, and that word ask is actually more demand. I'm not telling Jesus what to do, but I'm going to stand in his name, and I'm going to demand and command that anything that is not according to Jesus go in the name of Jesus. Right? And so when I'm going out and I'm meeting with people who are lost and don't yet know Jesus, you know what? Because of me as an ambassador of Christ, I can command the name of Jesus to break whatever that thing is that the enemy has brought on that person. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. In the name of Christ, be set free. In the name of Jesus Christ, be released. In the name of Jesus Christ, you name it, go in Jesus' name. I command in the name of Jesus, this be gone in Jesus' name. Because Jesus has given me the power of attorney to do what he can do. And it's according to his name. And he said, listen, if you ask it, I will do it. And so all of a sudden, the lost around us can encounter the supernatural, which they themselves, on their own account and on accord yet, do not have the capacity to walk in. They have no hope outside of Christ. And so we can be ambassadors and step into it and just see God move. See, this is what Peter understood in Acts 3. And how interesting is this? The final verse that I'm going to preach on tonight, this weekend, is the verse that Dom opened with Friday night.
Did you blend it?
Absolutely not. But I would suggest the Holy Spirit did. I mean, come on now. Dom opens up Friday night, I almost dropped my tablet.
Yeah.
I should be used to God by now, right?
Yeah.
Getting there.
Supernatural,
man. Acts 3:6-7. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold. But what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. You see, Peter understood that he was an ambassador now of Christ. Peter understood. He'd watched Jesus do it. He'd been commissioned to do it, Mark 16. And now Peter understood that Jesus said, now you go and you in my name you do these things. And so Peter says, okay, like this guy doesn't know Jesus yet, but in Jesus' name, I command this to happen. And it's commanded because we are an ambassadors of Christ. And so we get to usher in the things that Christ does. Who wants to usher in the things that Christ does into your lost friends? Hello. I just sense as we close, just a revelation of commissioning. I think the commissioning includes this. Do you desire to be commissioned to walk into more of the supernatural than what you're walking in today? Do you choose to walk more in the supernatural than what you've had up until this day? Will you choose to be used of God to release the supernatural into a lost world? If you'd like to be commissioned in those two areas, please come forward. Lord, you're seeing the prophetic action of coming forward. You see our hearts, God. You see our hunger and our desire to live more in the supernatural going forward than what we have walked in the past. Lord, we are declaring that we want to live according to the supernatural, above the natural. We're declaring that we are going to trust your word above the natural every time. Lord, we are declaring that we're going to be led by your spirit, that we're going to be using your name to command and bring forth that which is of you in our lives and in the lives of the lost. So Lord, we just come to you right now and we just are opening ourselves up to walk more in that which you have for us. Lord, and we will walk into, we expect a greater inheritance. We expect greater healings, salvations, restoration, Lord, as you lead us into more for ourselves and for those that you've placed around our lives, God. In Jesus' name, amen.